National headlines
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.
And good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. Today is Wednesday, November 20th. The time is 8:30 a.m. I'm your host, Josh Engel. We are live streaming this morning's episode of Community Voice on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments for our guests, feel free to throw those in the chat. I'd be happy to read them out to our guests today. Our guests being no stranger to the program, Matt Cook, Assistant Athletic Director for Events, Marketing, and Media, as well as, for his first appearance on Community Voice, Dave Moore. He's the head men's basketball coach at UWG, the University of West Georgia. The University of West Georgia's head men's basketball coach, Dave Moore, led the Wolves to one of the greatest seasons in school history in 2023 to 2024, guiding UWG to a 27-6 record, a GSC regular season and tournament championship, and an appearance in the South Regional semifinal game for the second consecutive season. West Georgia's 27 wins ranks as the third most in UWG history. In those 27 wins, West Georgia won 20 of those games by double digits, which ties the school record for the most double-digit wins in a season. Under Moore's leadership, the Wolves were one of the best defensive teams in the country. West Georgia held opponents to a 39.6 shooting percentage, which ranked fourth in the nation this season, while leading the Gulf South Conference in blocks per game with 3.9 after historic season. Moore was awarded by being named the GSC and South District Coach of the Year, making him the first coach in UWG men's basketball history to be named the District Coach of the Year. Highlighted by three NCAA tournament appearances in the past four seasons, Moore is steering the West Georgia basketball program into a new era in 2024 with the ascension to Division I as he enters his seventh season as head coach at the institution. Matt, I'm sorry I didn't have such a thorough and long introduction for you, but I mean, you know, your history, yeah, your skills speak for themselves.
And this is all about men's basketball. I'm telling you that it's what we got. Basketball is what's going on right now, and it's really important that we, you know, talk about basketball and Coach Moore and the job he's been doing. It's been phenomenal over the last 7 years, and I've loved working with him. So,
oh, he's crushing it. And we've had a nice chat hanging out here in the studio before the show. We're going to be talking about that, all basketball, all the time. We're going to be talking about the Gauntlet schedule, which will be beginning this season, as well as some highlight some players that are really leading the way. And, of course, talk about returning home for the opener on Tuesday at 7 p.m. against Troy University. We're going to talk about that and so much more. But why don't we first I read a bit about you,
sure.
Dave, but if we could, let's get a little closer to the mic. And if you could, tell me a bit about you, stuff that's not in this paragraph right here.
Yeah, you know, I grew up the son of a high school basketball coach. My dad was a varsity basketball coach for a long time. And I'm the youngest of three kids. So when I was young, you know, my son's age, I got an 8-year-old now, it's in the third grade. When I was that age, my dad had retired from coaching and he became my coach. So I had my dad as my coach from the second grade through the eighth grade. And, you know, dad was kind of a Bobby Knight style guy, you know, an intense style guy. He was coaching in the 60s and 70s. It was kind of a different era back then.
Sure.
That's what I grew up with. You know, I grew up in the gym with my dad. And basketball, I played football and baseball and all that stuff, but basketball was kind of what I loved and what I found passion in. And, you know, so that's how I grew up. I grew up in the gym. I grew up in the game, and was able to kind of turn that into a career, and found West Georgia, and it's been great so far. We're doing great in Carrollton. I've got a 11-year-old little girl and a 10-year-old boy in Carrollton schools, and awesome. My wife works at UWG, so we've really embraced the community. They've embraced us, and it's been really good so far.
What's your wife's name?
Erica.
Erica Cook.
Erica Moore.
Oh, wrong one. Erica Moore.
Erica Moore.
Erica Moore.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Erica Moore.
That's right, Erica Moore.
Your hubby's doing
Erica
great. I'm going to make your name up, though. Don't worry about it. Awesome. That's Dave Moore, head men's basketball coach for UWG. Man, that's awesome. Now, that's great. Now, did your dad prefer basketball as well of those?
Yeah, he coached everything. He coached some football. He coached some baseball. But basketball was his sport. He was a Hall of Fame high school basketball coach in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I grew up, you know. So I came by it honestly and was able to, get lucky enough to get a scholarship to play ball at Bethel College, a little tiny school in McKenzie, Tennessee. And just fell in love with that level, fell in love with the college part of it. Started to work a bunch of basketball camps, got to know a guy named Skip Prosser, who was the head coach at Xavier University in Cincinnati for a long time. Was at Wake Forest, Coach Chris Paul, Wake Forest. Through that, I had a couple guys named Chris Mack, who's the head coach at Charleston, Pat Kelsey, who's the head coach at Louisville now. Those are guys that I grew up around in Cincinnati that are, big-time Division I head coaches now. They kind of helped me get in the business. Chris Mack helped me get in the business with Mark Schmidt at Robert Morris University in Pittsburgh around 2006. And that was kind of the beginning of my Division I experience as an assistant coach. I spent 12 years with Coach Schmidt at Robert Morris. And, 9 months into that job, he got the job at St. Bonaventure in Western New York. So I had never really known about Olean, New York, and Western New York up there, but got the opportunity to go up there with Coach Schmidt, spent 11 seasons up there. We had a ton of success up there. Awesome. I got to meet my wife there. We had our kids there.
Shout out to Erica Moore.
That's right. Shout out to Erica Moore. So my experience at St. Bonaventure is really what prepared me for this opportunity here at West Georgia. And when the opportunity came, I really didn't know West Georgia. I had been a GA at Christian Brothers University in Memphis. So I got my master's degree there, and we played in the Gulf South. But we played on the western side. At that point, the Gulf South was divided into east and west. So we never came out here to West Georgia to play. So when the job came open, I was interested because I saw the Gulf South. And I called my college coach, Mike Nienaber, who was the head coach at Christian Brothers at the time, is at the head coach at Delta State now. And I asked him what kind of job West Georgia was, and he was like, Dave, it could be the best job in the league. They got great facilities. It's a beautiful campus. It's
amazing. Yeah.
Close to Atlanta. So I took the interview, I got off the plane and made the drive to Carrollton and spent the night in the courtyard and, walked up to the square and checked it out and, had a great, day on campus, had a good interview, thought things went well. But I was blown away when I got on campus about the size of the facilities.
Oh, my God, yeah.
How beautiful the campus was, the proximity to Atlanta, And as a coach, you're always thinking about recruiting, right? Can you sell this place?
Yeah.
And I knew I could sell the University of West Georgia. I knew we could be successful here, especially being so close to Atlanta. I knew I could go to Cincinnati and go get some guys, junior college guys. The quality of life that our guys have here on campus in Carrollton is really high. So the recruiting piece was there. I was excited about the opportunity, and it all worked out. And I got offered the job, and all of a sudden, poof, it's year number 7.
Time flies.
Time flies. That's right.
Time flies. Right. Well, let's jump right into it. So last night was the home opener against Troy.
Yeah.
I know that it just happened. So you're still kind of going back and checking out everything. But I'd love to get some of your initial thoughts, and I'd love to hear a bit about your impression of the fans and how you were received.
Yeah, I thought it was, it's a good night. It's always exciting. The first Division I home game in program history. That's an exciting time. And as we're getting ready for the season, the biggest challenge was scheduling. There's a certain amount of, guaranteed bye games that we have to play, like Mississippi State and Georgia Tech and all that stuff. But another part of the schedule was the non-conference home and home agreements, right? Mm. So Troy is, pretty close. Schools like Georgia Southern, Mercer, that we're going to play later in the season, Tennessee Tech. Those were the biggest challenges, to get a home game. And I didn't want our first home game in the Division I era to be against a non-Division I, right? So that was a real challenge to get somebody to agree to come in here. We were coming off a 27-win season, and not everybody knew kind of what we were going to have. So that was a real challenge to get a home game, just one home game at Division I level. So Tennessee Tech's going to come in later on. But Troy agreed, in a very good program, You know, Coach Cross has done a great job. I think they've won 20 games or more in the last three seasons. They finished third in the Sun Belt last year, which is a very good conference, the conference that Georgia State's in. And, you know, they got 12 guys back from that team. So I knew we were going to have a big-time challenge in front of us. In the first half, they played really well, made eight threes in the first half, and that really kind of extended the lead. And they hadn't been that successful making shots earlier in the season. So, you know, credit to them. They played really well. I thought our guys, we bounced back in the second half, played harder, played more efficient, played better. And that's been the challenge, you know, stepping up into a level, you're dealing with more size, you're dealing with more athleticism, you're dealing with better skill. The margin for error is very small. Our last year's team, we were the most talented team most nights when we took the floor. And we could play a C-plus game and win. Now that you're getting here at the Division I level, you can't play a C-plus game and win. We've got to play an A game. We got to be dialed in. We got to make shots. We got to make our free throws. You know, all the elements of winning that you have to do. And Troy was a very good team. So we're learning. You know, John Calipari had a quote the other day that I saw. It's, you're either, at this time of year, you're either winning or you're learning. And we're doing a lot of learning right now. We're doing a lot of learning of what it takes to be a Division I program.
That's awesome. That is Dave Moore, head men's basketball coach with UWG, joined this morning with Matt Cook, assistant athletic director for events, marketing, and media. With that, we're going to go and take our first commercial break. Time is 8:41. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with the UWG men's basketball crew here, Dave Moore and Matt Cook, as we chat more about some of the highlights and players that have really stepped up and made the folks at home proud of us now that we're crushing it in Division I. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and take our first commercial break. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius Strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. Today's Wednesday, November 20th. I'm your host, Josh Engel, and we are having a great conversation here with men's basketball coach, head men's basketball coach with UWG, Dave Moore, as well as the assistant athletic director for events, marketing, and media, and that's Matt Cook. This morning's episode is currently live streaming on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments for our guest, feel free to throw those in the chat. I'd be happy to read them out to our guests. Before we get into highlighting some players that are doing an excellent job, we're going to I did get a question text into me.
All right.
Sometimes they don't always come in on the live stream. I get texts. This is what happens when you know a bunch of people. So I had a question come in. Can you ask Dave his thoughts on the transfer portal and the NIL? It's a big topic in college athletics now.
Yeah, so it's two very big challenges for coaches. We'll talk about the transfer portal first. The transfer portal has grown dramatically over the last few years because the NCAA has taken the limits off of how many times you can transfer. In the past, when you transferred from university to university, four-year school to four-year school, you had to sit out a year in residence. The thought was you sit out a year in residence, you catch up academically. Because when you transfer from a school, the other school's not going to take all the credits. So you need some time to catch up academically so you can stay on track to graduate. The NCAA has taken that year in residence away, that restriction away. So now student athletes are free to move anytime they want. They can, you know, they can go to four schools in 4 years if they want, and they're immediately eligible to play their sport, whatever sport they're playing. So in men's basketball, it makes it difficult because it becomes unlimited free agency, right? And there's no other sport, no other professional sport that has unlimited free agency, right? When the Braves sign a guy, they're going to sign him for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and they know they're at least going to have him for a few years, right? So they can make that investment. They can build their roster around him. Right now in men's basketball, that's the challenge. So you see all this roster turnover. There's thousands of kids in the portal every year. Now, it also can be an advantage. You can build your roster quicker with more experienced players through the transfer portal. But that's where NIL comes into the equation now. Name, image, and likeness was supposed to be an idea that the student-athlete can market their brand and make money off their brand. So if a student athlete had a big social media following and a company wanted them to promote their products, the student athlete now could get paid to promote those products. Where in the past, student athlete couldn't earn that type of money. They couldn't make that money. That was illegal in the NCAA. Now they're allowed to do that. And that's what it was supposed to be: name, image, and likeness. If one of our guys is on a video game, you know, college basketball 2K, right? They get some residuals off of that. You know, their name, image, and likeness is on that video game, and people are making money on that video game. The athlete should be included in that revenue, right?
Sure.
That's what it was supposed to be, right? What it's become now, especially in men's basketball and football, is pay for play. So, you know, I don't know how much the left tackle at UGA makes, but it's over $1 million. I don't know how much the quarterback at UGA makes, but it's over $1 million. In addition to their scholarship, in addition to cost of attendance, in addition to their housing, in addition to their meals, the general scholarship that they all used to receive. Yeah. So now it's big money, you know, and the athlete is sharing in that revenue. But it puts a lot of pressure as a new Division I school. Now you're not just having to raise money for scholarships. Now you have to raise money for cost of attendance, in addition now NIL. So if I'm recruiting out of the portal and there's a Division I player, let's say at Georgia State, that averaged 16 points and 6 rebounds, right? That student athlete is going to demand a certain amount of NIL money to transfer, right? And that's what it's become. It's become free agency, and now players are getting paid. So in these beginning games that we played, we'll talk about Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, and South Florida, and those schools that we played, all those players on that roster are on full scholarship, but they're also making NIL money.
Wow!
And at that level, those guys are making $50,000 or more each. Some of them are making $150,000. Some of them are making $300,000 or more in NIL money. So as a brand new Division I, all that money is coming from donors. So the football program at UGA, the basketball program at UGA, all those NIL dollars are coming from the donorship. It goes into their collective, which is basically a big bank account, and the coaching staff, or now you see in college athletics, they're hiring general managers to manage that money and pay players to come. So the transfer portal now has become an opportunity for student athletes to transfer to schools and get paid.
I see.
And that has become, for us, it's become a real challenge in recruiting because we're not there yet. In terms of NIL and collective and starting all that stuff and having the dollars to be able to go get a guy at the Division I level that's averaged 18-6 to come help us win games.
Sure.
That's become the big challenge.
Well, let's talk about some of these knockout players that, I mean, we got to highlight Williams, Dryden, and Griffin. If you could, you know, these are three players averaging double figures.
Yeah.
Through four games. So lay it on us if you could. Tell us a bit about them.
Yeah, I mean, Shelton Williams, Dryden, played at Milwaukee Tech. He was a junior college player. He's a Milwaukee kid. We saw him play as a freshman a few years ago in the national tournament in Danville, Illinois. And really liked Shelton. you know, he needed to play 2 years in junior college, graduated from junior college. And, you know, he's an undersized five man is what he is. You know, the Auburn fans that are listening, he's kind of like our version of Charles Barkley. You know, he's a 6'4" and a half, really long forward that can really rebound and score around the rim. And Shelton was a first-team All-American at Milwaukee Tech. And a guy, because of his size, was not highly recruited, you know, by the bigger schools that could offer him a bunch of NIL money, right? Sure. So all these guys that we've gotten in this recruiting class are guys that are looking to play Division I basketball, looking for that opportunity to play in the Atlantic Sun, play the schedule that we're playing, play Division I basketball. And Shelton was one of those guys, averaged 18-9 in junior college, you know, that was looking for the opportunity, not a bunch of money.
Absolutely.
So we were able to sign Shelton, and he's been great for us. You know, scored 20 points at South Florida, had a double-double against Mississippi State. You know, so he's really helping us in that regard. And then Kyrique Davis is another junior college All-American from South Georgia State, was third-team All-American, a big 6'5 wing that can guard and rebound and score and stuff the stat sheet. You know, so we're really relying on those guys to come in and produce for us. And that was kind of the focus in our recruiting was, hey, we're not going to be able to go get the mid-major portal transfer right now, but we can go get really good junior college players. We can get Division II transfers that were producers at their level. And those guys can help us win. And that was the philosophy in recruiting. And those guys so far, you know, they're learning what it takes to play in Division I basketball. You know, I've got 13 guys in the roster that never played Division I basketball. You know, they were all producers, whether it was at Division II last year on our team, whether it was junior college, whether it was, you know, prep school, high school. They were all high-level producers, but they never have done it at the Division I level. You know, so like I said, we're learning. And then Colton Griffin's a guy that is a fifth-year senior. We got him out of junior college a few years ago. He was one of those, they call him COVID jukes, where one of his years was during COVID.
Sure.
So he got that year back. So he played 2 years in junior college and now has played 3 years here at West Georgia. He's in his third year here at West Georgia. So he's a fifth-year senior with a lot of experience. He started every game here at West Georgia, but senior day when he was a junior. You know, so he's been a part of two NCAA tournament teams here at West Georgia, and now is our most veteran guy going into this transition to Division I. So, you know, he's a senior captain. We're really counting on Colton to, you know, to elevate his game. You know, his role in the past has been kind of be a glue guy, great defender, really good rebounder. You know, any points that he scored was kind of the cherry on top. Now he has to score points for us, you know. So his leadership role has really increased. His production has to increase for us to be successful. You know, so those three guys have shown in moments so far in this young season that they can produce and really produce against some really high-level competition. You know, so I'm hoping that we can continue to grow and get better. And that's what this is. And hopefully the fans will understand that this is going to be a process. As we go through this Division I transition, it's going to be a process. Being able to navigate the transfer portal, being able to navigate NIL, being able to build our roster the right way that can compete in the Atlantic Sun, but also in the tough non-conference schedules that we have to play. You know, that's a big-time challenge. And we're just in the baby steps of this transition. And for us to have some success this season, those three guys are going to have to be really good for us.
Time is 8:53. We're going to go ahead and take our last commercial break. But when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with UWG head men's basketball coach Dave Moore and assistant athletic director for events marketing and media Matt Cook as we chat more about UWG men's basketball. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, We're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. If you're just tuning in, we've been having a knockout conversation with the head men's basketball coach from the University of West Georgia, Dave Moore, as well as assistant athletic director for events, marketing, and media, Matt Cook. This episode has been live streamed this morning on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So be sure to share that on your social media. Let everybody know about the awesome things that are going down right here in our own hometown at UWG. Let's throw it over to Matt here, Matt Moore. sorry, I keep switching up names. I'm dyslexic.
It's okay,
my
Josh.
Dyslexia is coming through. Matt Cook, let's throw it over to you, man. Let's talk about the schedule. We only have about 3.5-4 minutes,
sure.
But I'd love to leave folks with some upcoming games they can check out, some upcoming events, and how they can get tickets.
Well, our next home game is December 7th. We're going to have Tennessee Tech in the house back, and that's going to be a big night for us. That's going to be a holiday celebration. We want everybody to come out, wear an ugly Christmas sweater, and have a good time. We may bring some eggnog out or something like that, but it's gonna be a good time. Then January 4th, we're going to have these are not all the games. You can go see the full game schedule at UWGAthletics.com and see all the games that we've got coming up. But January 4th is going to be First Responders Day. We want to make sure that our first responders, our police officers, our firefighters, the 911 operators,
dispatch,
like that,
linemen,
all that
everybody.
Kind of stuff. Yeah, all those people who help keep us safe. We want to say thank you and have them come in and put them on the floor and be able to really say thank you. January 23rd is going to be a big night for us. We're going to have a raise the banner night and put our banner up into the rafters from last year's the Gulf South Conference Championship and the NCAA tournament.
Awesome.
And so January 25th, Military Appreciation Day, same thing. We want our military members to know that we appreciate them and what they do. February 20th is going to be a very, very cool night. It's our only doubleheader of the year. We're used to doing doubleheaders, and now we're doing single games. So we got 25 individual dates this year instead of 16 with double headers. So, but what we're going to do is we're going to do a Greek night on that night, and we're going to do a big outreach to all of our Greeks on campus and off campus. So, that'll be a great, great night to have the Greeks on campus. February 24th would be a celebration of Black History as a part of Black History Month. And then a very unique one on our home finale against Austin Peay, we're gonna have a great chili cook-off, and so we
nice.
Want all the chili people around town. We're gonna line the upper concourse with people and their chili recipes, and give fans an opportunity to vote on who their favorite chili.
There's tons of chili cooks around here.
telling you.
Yeah.
So you know, all you gotta do is reach out to me at mcook@westcott.edu, and I can help you with anything, tickets, all that kind of stuff, or you go to UWGAthletics.com/tickets.
Matt, Dave, truly, this was an awesome program. I'm very happy for our listeners at home that got to take this in. Thank you both for taking the time to come on the program. Thank you for the hard work that you're putting into this this time of a transference into it. You have an opportunity to stretch your legs in Division I and really blow it out of the water, man. Like, thank you so much again. Dave Moore, head men's basketball coach with the UWG. Matt Cook, assistant athletic director for events, marketing, and media. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate
Great
you.
To be with
thank
you.
You so much. And thank you to everyone who tuned in at home, including Dave's wife, Erica Moore. Shout out to you. See you next time.